4 months passed, and one day James reminded us that the Torah proclaimed that one hung upon a tree is accursed. I told him that could not be true of the man Jesus. That was the first time any of us ever questioned the ancient words. They simply could not apply to one so good as the man Jesus. How would a scribe from long ago know that all who were hung upon a tree were accursed? He could not. In a battle between the man Jesus and the ancient words, the man Jesus was the victor. Our grief continued to torment us. The man Jesus was gone. His voice was silent. The elders had triumphed over the man Jesus, but how could something so good be wrong? Why would God allow such good to disappear? Summer ended, and the Feast of the Tabernacle came, which was a time to celebrate the joy of the harvest. We thought it safe to travel to Jerusalem and take part. Once there, during the procession to the altar, it was read from the Psalms that the Messiah shall not die, but shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. One of the elders proclaimed that though the Lord has chastened the Messiah sorely, he has not given him over unto death, but rather, the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. In the temple, we listened to readings from Zechariah, which told that one day the Lord would come and living waters would flow from Jerusalem, and the Lord would become king over all the earth. Then one evening I came upon another reading from Zechariah. He spoke of a pouring out from the house of David and of a spirit of compassion and supplication. It was said that when we look on him whom they have pierced, we shall mourn for him as one weeps over a firstborn. Listening, I thought of the man Jesus and what happened to him. The reader seemed to speak directly to me when he spoke of God's plan to strike the shepherd so that the sheep may scatter. At that moment, a love took hold of me that would not let go. That night, I journeyed outside Jerusalem to the spot where the Romans had buried the man Jesus. I knelt above his mortal remains and wondered how a simple fisherman could be the source of all truth. The high priest and scribes had judged the man Jesus a fraud, but I knew they were wrong. God did not require obedience to ancient laws in order to achieve salvation. God's love was boundless. The man Jesus had many times said that, and in accepting his death with great courage and dignity, the man Jesus had given one final lesson to us all. In ending life, we find life. Loving is to be loved. All doubt left me. Grief vanished. Confusion became clarity. The man Jesus was not dead. He was alive. Resurrected within me was the risen Lord. I felt his presence as clearly as when he once stood beside me. I recalled what he said to me many times. "Simon, if you love me, you will find my sheep." I finally knew that loving as he loved will allow anyone to know the Lord. Doing as he did will allow us all to know the Lord. Living as he lived is the way to salvation. God had come from heaven to dwell within the man Jesus, and through his deeds and words, the Lord became known. The message was clear. Care for the needy. Comfort the distressed. Befriend the rejected. Do those things, and the Lord will be pleased. God took the man Jesus' life so that we could see. I was merely the first to accept that truth. The task became clear. The message must live through me and others who likewise believe. When I told John and James of my vision, they saw too. Before we left Jerusalem, we returned to the place of my vision and dug from the earth the remains of the man Jesus. We took him with us and laid him in a cave. We returned the next year and gathered his bones. Then I wrote this account, which I placed with the man Jesus, for together they are the Word.